Hi, everybody. Welcome. It is Wednesday, April 8th, and you are joining me, Scott Pontier, on Daily Journey Podcast. What I've been doing with these podcasts recently is a little something I love to call two questions. I bring on a friend, they ask me two questions, we have a conversation. It's really simple. Hope you enjoy that. But I've enjoyed it because I just get different conversation, different perspective from everybody I have on. And so today I have a very interesting perspective from Carol Copenall. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
because just before I hit record, Carol said, quote, "I have actually never once listened to any podcasts."
Yep.
End quote. And I'm not sure how that works. You don't feel like you're missing out on the world?
I need to get with the times, but it's something I've never gotten into. And I know they're very beneficial. I just haven't.
Did you like miss the time in history where we all listened to Serial?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Carol. There's so much good podcasting you should invest your time in right now.
I know. And I'm pretty obsessed with a lot of different topics. I think it would help me, but I just haven't.
Well, Carol, why don't you introduce yourself for us? Tell us who you are. Tell us what you do on a regular basis and maybe how we even know each other.
Yeah. I'm Carol Copenall. I am currently for my job in the HR manager at John Ball Zoo. So I don't get to do anything fun with the animals, but I get to be around them, which is really cool. Scott and I've known you since I was in high school, which is a long time ago.
13 years ago.
Yeah. Is it? I thought it was long. Yeah. 13 years ago. Yep. So Scott was my youth pastor and he couldn't shake me, and now I'm here at Jamestown Harbor. So,
that pretty much sums it up.
I just have followed him around to Rock Harbor, to Jamestown Harbor, and now I'm here. So.
And you are married to Chris.
Yes, I'm married to Chris. I just recently had our first son. He is 4 months old.
4 months.
Yeah.
Born in a time of coronavirus, this kid.
Yeah. Yeah, we always joke around that. So my husband, Chris, and I are both home with him right now as we're working. And we think he's definitely developing an unhealthy bond between us that we'll be unable to break. But it's good. It's fun.
That's fine. He doesn't know anything is different right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
I had talked to a lot of different people with a lot of different family situations. Some people who are quarantined alone in their house. Some people who've got four kids, some people who've got teenagers, some people who've got little ones. And let me tell you, every single story is different and the pressure points are different and the joys are different. You know, like for you, there's like, at least I can set him in a bouncy chair for a little while and he's fine. You know,
yep. He can entertain himself for a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. But then he probably wakes you up in the middle of the night still.
Yes. He is currently in a sleep regression, which is not that much fun, but at least we're not, you know, getting up early and heading to work. So that's kind of nice.
That's true. Well, tell me a little bit about as this season began for you. Like, tell me about the time or the moment where it became like, oh, this is a big deal to me. And I don't know if it was through work or conversation or just something you heard or did. I don't know.
Yeah, actually. So I was on maternity leave. I came back to work at the beginning of March. And while I was on maternity leave, I was I pretty much just never listened to the news. I didn't really kind of tag into life, I guess. But my husband was he worked for an company that's international. So he was kind of keyed into it. And I kind of played it off a little bit like, yeah, okay. No big deal.
Yeah, because Chris has clients and stuff in China, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was more clued into it, and I kind of brushed it off a little bit. So then I actually went back to work on that Monday. That Friday is kind of when everything kind of blew up. And so I was only in the office for, I think, 4 days. I ended up taking that Friday off, and I worked from home, actually, more than I thought I was going to. And in the position I'm in, we're just trying to figure out what do we do with staff? Like, what does that look like?
You're the HR person. That's the hat you got to wear right now.
Yeah. And I kind of went from 0 to 60, you know,
turned a corner.
Basically. Yeah. Mm. There was no real time to kind of ease back into work. It was just coronavirus all the time. And, it's crazy. I, I was off for 3 months, and then I was physically in the office for a few days, and then I'm off at home now too. So
has your workload like skyrocketed as the work from home thing? Because I know some people are different. Like some of us, our workload is like, okay, I still got to work, but now it's like 3 or 4 hours worth. For other people, it's like I'm on calls and meetings for 10 hours a day.
Yeah, definitely. I would say skyrocketed, and having a little one's a little bit different. So most of my work gets done after he goes to bed. So I work a lot in meetings throughout the day. It's a lot of calls and a lot of conversations. And then after he's in bed, it's a lot of working on the computer after that. So definitely skyrocketed. Like I said, it went from 0 to 60 really quick.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, two questions is the name of the game on here. And, I would love to hear what your first question is.
Yeah.
So curious.
So one of the things that I've really found interesting, and I've been talking to a lot of people, and I think is really cool, is that, you know, in this day right now, everyone has access to church, right? It's online.
Sure.
You know? We haven't been watching it on Sundays at 9. We watch it Sunday evenings or even throughout the week instead.
That's like, great. You're helping the bandwidth issues.
Yeah, right. But I think my question is, how do you think this will change? Do you think that they'll take advantage? Do you think that this will change the way that church works? Because I think it's really cool to be able to say to my friends and family, like, you have more access to church than you ever have before, or more access to somebody preaching. Do you think that'll change?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, that's not different because of a worldwide pandemic, right? Like for the last 5 to 10 years, we've had more access to preaching or worship music online than ever before, right? Like that's been true. And so that this is not any different. I think for the thing that is different is there's a lot of churches going, oh, we got to figure this out real quick because we haven't been participating in it. So I do think that the thing that will change is people are more apt to find it or invite people into it. Because it's the staple right now, right? Like it's the foundation of like, oh, well, you can check this out. And guess what? Carol, you and Chris could, you know, engage with 3 different churches on a Sunday if you wanted to. And it's like, so I think for some people, it'll turn into higher levels of like individual consumption, right? Mm-hmm. And other people, it'll turn into like a first step into a door. The thing that I hope changes is that those actually become doorways instead of destinations. After we're able to be together again, that there's a place to actually gather, that I'm hoping there are some people, and I know there are some people who've been like engaging with our church in particular online, and I don't know who they are yet. Like I've never met them, and they will show up once we're back in this thing. Like, I mean, think back to 9/11 and the churches were full afterwards because that's what crisis does to us. But I think that, so I hope it's more of a doorway where people move into a space of belonging. The thing I fear is that, well, I just watch 3 church services a week and that's how I get my personal spirituality fed. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, well, we're missing a huge communal aspect to this. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that tension between like my own personal spiritual journey and like a need to be part of community.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
well, but, and I wonder too, if moving forward that, people will get too comfortable with just having something online too, and miss that out on that community aspect.
Yeah. And again, I think that's a fair question, right? Like to go like, well, the real question kind of come out of here is like, well, what do we need to do anything different for? Right? Like we figured it out.
I think so. Yeah. But
like how many of us are going to go, why do I need to go to the office anymore?
hopefully people are feeling like they missed that part. I know even for me, like I miss seeing people at the office and hopefully miss seeing people in general too.
Yeah. And I think that's the big, like that doesn't necessarily translate in the church for some people. Sure, I can get my fill by looking up a Hillsong video and worship into that, or, you know, go find the best preacher you can find on the internet and listen to them. Like, I'm sure it's great, you know. But at the end of the day, what a church is, it's a faith community, you know. And as much as we can do what we can do online and on phone calls and all that kind of stuff, like, there is a missing sense of we can't be together. or I can't belong to a people. And so, yeah, to think that that's going to impact churches in a negative way, like, I just don't think that that's true. Because I think people, I don't know, you've been like in every church I've led, so it's tough to use you as an example. But for other people, we have plenty of people who came to Jamestown Harbor Church. We planted it 4.5 years ago, so lots of new, right? And people will go, and the first thing they'll do is they'll go, do I want to keep going here because I like the worship, I like the preaching, I think the experience felt good, whatever that means to them.
Right.
But what makes people stay is, I can't imagine not being around where Carol is, you know, like, or these are my people. Like, that's what I hope people get to. And we don't get to do that right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you haven't had to do a whole lot of church. I don't think you've church shopped a day in your life, have you?
No. Well, I mean, I just blindly follow you. So
yeah, well, that's your first mistake right there.
I know.
But I do think, like, when people are, if people are searching for something, the thing that keeps them there is, man, is this going to be a place where I belong? And these are my people. So that's the thing that I've been trying to, like, push towards, is help people be connected. Even our Sunday gathering stuff that we're doing is designed to just drive conversation and connection. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less about, let me tell you how many cool Hebrew words I know, and a lot more on going, but what's God doing in our midst right now? Because we can't even be together. So that's different.
Yeah, it's been cool to see that the church services, at least at Jamestown Harbor, has been more a little interactive, where we can pause and have discussion. And so I think that's been...
Yeah, that's one of the things, I think after the first week, I think it was Tim Wilson, he said, the thing that I realize, even after doing this one time, is like, oh, the kids ministry is in the room when I'm talking, and the student ministry is in the room when I'm talking. And like, so if I'm not talking... If I'm not helping shape that, so we made a decision as a preaching team to be like, we're going to aim at that engagement, like with people who are in the room together, and the family. And I think I wouldn't have come up with that on my own, but it was the smart thing that the room came up with, and that, you know, Tim's observation was really helpful with. So, but that's the trick. Like, we don't know how to do this. We're all figuring this out. So,
right.
And I don't know what it feels like today versus what it'll feel like in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that, like, similar question to you, like, how do you think this is going to change, like, your work situation and your workplace? Are people going to care about going to the zoo? I don't know.
I think it's interesting because we do have employees that are on site to care for the animals right now. And a lot of focus is on trying to care for those employees who are on site because they have to be in. But slowly we've had to shift because you see the anxiety higher in those who are at home that don't have that social interaction. And so our mindset sort of has shifted from caring from those who have to be on site to also caring for those that are off site and how do we connect with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's interesting.
Because those that are on site, they have, while they're social distancing and while they're still maintaining, you know, following all those protocols, they still have that interaction where they can see somebody and talk to somebody.
Yeah. But those of us who aren't in that position are like, another day in this house, you know, and I wonder what's going on out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is interesting. So you as an HR person have, like, seen, like, oh, we actually have to care for people. So perhaps sheltering in place is not good for our souls.
Yeah. I mean, at least on the side of business, we see that it's really hard for employees. Not that they're not productive and not that they're not getting work done, but there is a part of, like, going to work and seeing people that is really crucial. And the same, I think, is with church, right?
Yeah. And I think just as we were talking before we hit record, like, one of the things that I personally am feeling and noticing is in my relationships with people that I, you know, that I've had relationships for a long time, it's a lot easier for us to, like, cross paths with each other. Like, not cross paths, but, like, cross wires with each other. Mm-hmm. Because, like, Carol, you can send me a text message and I'm not in a personal relationship with you, in the space with you enough to, like, know exactly how to read the voice you're sending it in.
Right.
Email and, And even just doing like a Zoom call or video chat, I find myself afterwards going, okay, what did we cover in there? Like, it's just such an interesting, there are little tiny pieces to our relationship that are dropping off and that I'm missing and that I feel like, oh, I'm not fully connected to you anymore. And because of that, we might misunderstand each other. We might cross our wires or we might, who knows what? And so I'm starting to see that in myself and, you know, like that's in our workplace, in any workplace, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Good to know that, you know, we are not necessarily supposed to be doing the way we're supposed to be doing this. God did not design us this way, I guess I'll say.
I agree. Not to be isolated, at least.
All right. So that's a good first question. What's your second question?
Yeah. So I wanted to frame this in terms of like, so you were my youth pastor. And I kind of have, you really came alongside me and brought me into the world of student ministries as well. So we're seeing a lot of seniors or even high schoolers or any student that are missing out on a good chunk at the end of the year. And we're seeing them, you know, without prom, without graduation. Like, it's just so much different.
Their senior year on the track team, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. A lot of their sporting events were canceled and trips were canceled and spring breaks. And I guess, like, how do you talk to people to help them process? And how do you help adults help them process?
Because it's hard to,
if you haven't been in that world or feel that loss, and this could be true for anyone, like, how do you help them process that?
Yeah, because, you know, for me, it's easy to say, like, I don't know if that's that big of a deal. You're not really missing, it's not that big of a tragedy to not go to prom, right? But for them, it's a different world, right? Like, it's a thing that their world has changed, and it's fair for them to mourn that loss. Because it is a loss to them. It is a loss. I mean, if I think back, I would have mourned the loss of my senior year of track, or I don't know if I would have cared about my prom, but or even graduation that much, but certain things. And even my eighth grader, who is basically a ninth grader now, I guess.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm not going to, school is where I see my friends.
Yeah.
So now what? And my teachers, he loves his teachers, and like, I'm moving to a different building in the fall. I'm not going to get to say goodbye to them. Like,
yeah. And some students didn't realize the last time that they were in that building or with their friends would be the last time for the year they would see them.
Right. And I think it's important for us as adults to know that rites of passage matter, right? Like milestones in our journeys, especially as kids and teenagers, those things do matter. Like they mark at an age where you're rapidly transforming every step of the way into becoming who you're going to be. Like I became who I was going to be around 25 or 30. And now I'm working on that. Right. But between the ages of 10 and 20, it's so volatile. Mm-hmm. So helping kids understand, like, I think we can mourn with them the loss of their milestones. And I think that is important to just come alongside and be like, yeah, this does suck. Mm-hmm. You know, not to diminish it, not to say this doesn't matter or, oh, you'll get over it. You know, it's important for us to be with them in that. Mm-hmm. But I also think it might be important to think about I wonder what the new milestone is for you. I wonder what the new rite of passage is.
Right.
Is it the quarantine is lifted rite of passage? And when that happens, this is what's going to happen. You know, you know, my kids are probably both going to have their birthdays, you know, indoors, you know, and that's they're going to look back and be like, that was kind of a crappy birthday, you know, but they get, and kids are smart enough to get it. They understand why, but it doesn't change the feeling of it. I think the other thing maybe to know is that even while you're sitting with them, I don't think it's our job to fix it. I don't think it's our job to fix them. You know, like I know that they'll go to college or they'll go to the next thing. And eventually that will, their life is still going to be good. Right. But just to be present in it, I don't know. Have you had a lot of conversations with like seniors or kids? I know you're connected in that world a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's really good advice too, just to not fix it. I think sometimes the natural inclination is to, well, you've got this, or what about this? And try to like help them fix it. But it is good to just be in that with that, just in that that's happening. But yeah, there is a sense of loss, I know, with seniors. Yeah. And I've even talked to college seniors that say, you know, I don't even have college to look forward to next. I've got what's that next step? What does that look
so
like?
So do they have to be like, well, now I just got to find a job? Oh, college kinda. Seniors right now. Yeah. This is a scary time for them.
It is. It is.
I can't imagine. Like, what's the workforce going to be look like?
I know.
You know?
Yeah. And so kind of being able to mourn with them on that too, of like, this sucks and it's okay, but it's hard, and trying to process that, right? Like, some people, they've got college next year, they've got some aid coming up or whatever that is. But helping them focus on that. But some people, it's like, okay, I got to find a job, and I don't have closure to that college experience either.
Closure is a good word. Yeah. Cause it's like, that's what they're missing out on. Right. And that matters to us. It might be also helpful for us to think about, how do we help people be present? Because if you're one of those people in one of those categories you talked about, right? Most of your journey recently and right now has been about looking forward to the next thing. It's forward thinking, right? And it's living in that future, applying for colleges, financial aid, you know, jobs, as we just talked about, college seniors, or whatever it might be for even an adult, like, I don't know. But like, if you live in that future and now that future is removed or changed or uncertain, boy, it's going to cause you a lot of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, to help go, let's just stay here where our feet are right now. Like, let's put our hearts and our minds where our feet are and go, what's happening in the moment? Let's pay attention to what God's doing today, what I'm experiencing today. And if what I'm experiencing today is sadness and mourning, okay. If what I'm experiencing today is calm and joy, great. You know, like, but don't miss today because you're so focused on what you're losing in the future. That might be helpful too.
Yeah.
It's hard at that age. That's all you're doing is looking forward to the next thing.
Yeah. You've kind of been hardwired for that. Like, okay, now I got to do this grade and then this college, you know,
and then I get my driver's license and then I get my AP test and then I get my application to college and then I make the varsity team and, you know, and that's really true. I think even our kids are like, well, then I turn 10, you know, then I have the next birthday and then we go on this family vacation. I mean, kids are bummed because their family vacations aren't happening.
And this is supposed to be spring break this week.
Right. Yeah. That's a, and the practical side of me is like, okay, you can go a year without a vacation, right? It's smart that you do. It's not a big deal. But like, to them in their world, we have sort of taught them to frame everything around these markers. Mm-hmm. And then when the markers drop off the map, of course they're going to be confused and sad and upset. Man, that's a,
yeah.
But I think if we're sitting in our space going, how are we present today? What's available to you today? Who is around you today? I mean,
what are you learning in this time? I think is important too.
I mean, luckily for young people, they know how to communicate virtually better than anybody right now. So that's no different, right? Yeah.
And maybe too, that's something that, you know, we all, I think even I fall victim of living virtually, and maybe this is something where we learn that we need that human interaction, and a call is better than a text, or in person is better than a call. And hopefully, at least I'm learning that about myself.
I think I am too. I did read something right now. What day is it today? Oh, so tomorrow when we do, we have a Maundy Thursday service that we'll be having out, and it's really simple, but like we'll practice the Lord's Supper in that. And, you know, there's some perspectives on that of like why that's not okay, you know, or why that is okay and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I think we're learning is that, the Lord's Supper is about presence. It's about our presence. It's about God's presence, about those things meeting, right? And we live in a world now where presence does not necessitate human proximity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can be very present with you in this conversation in a way, you know, that I could as well as being here, right? So helping our young people, helping each other, our old people, practice good presence, you know, might cure the problems of being isolated as best as we can.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. Okay. I would love to know the Tiger King reaction to your line of work. Have you seen it?
Yes, I watched one episode and thought, and then I got bored and saw all the memes and decided to give it another shot. But
I mean, I would say it's a show that makes you feel like a worse person for having watched it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. it's interesting because so like John Ball Zoo, this is so technical, and but we're an AZA zoo, which is Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which means that
I knew that. Yeah.
Right.
Zoos and Aquariums. Which, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means that we have a set standard that we can of care that we must give to our animals. And so like habitats must be a certain size so that they would have room to like roam.
So you're saying like a roadside zoo doesn't follow those?
Yeah. So you look at this and it's just like, I know what kind of care we give our animals. And then I watch this in sheer terror and horror of like, there's no, what? So yeah, I think that's been.
So you're not employing any Tiger Kings anytime soon.
No, no. And our staff definitely has the same reaction to that of, no, that's not how you care for a tiger.
Good. That's the right reaction. Very glad to hear
that. And one of the things that's interesting that I learned after working at the zoo is that overfeeding tigers or having tigers look, I mean, their tigers in the show are really, really heavy. And that's really unhealthy for a tiger.
Oh, so interesting.
You want them to look skinnier too. So I don't know. Yeah, that's been interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast today for your first podcast experience ever.
Yeah, this is so the first strange. Full podcast I've listened to, so thank you.
Oh, my gosh. For the rest of you, thanks for joining. I've got a bunch of guests starting to line up for the coming weeks. I'm excited about some of the voices that you will hear. I'm excited that you get to experience Carol Copenhall today. It's been great. I'm pretty much planning every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this point with some guests. Subscribe to Jamestown Harbor Church podcasts, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Reach out, send us an email, scott.pontier@harborchurches.org, if you want to connect, if you want to ask a question, if you just want to get Carol's information and talk to her more about the standards for taking care of animals in a zoo.
Yeah, I'm here.
whatever it's got to be, but hope you all stay safe. I hope you all stay connected, even though you are isolated. So. Thanks for joining us.